Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me on today's show is Mark Lawrence, covers expert and publisher of the Playbook Football Guide Preview Magazine, which is in its 29th year of publication. You can follow him on Twitter at Mark Lawrence. Mark, great to have you back on the show.
Hey, great to be back with you, Rob, and really looking forward to the 2021 football season. You know, I know that it should be quite different than the 2020 football season.
Very much so. And what we're going to be jamming about today is a look ahead towards the NFL season. I know we're in July, but football is a year-round sport, and we want to help get you ready so that you can make this the best season ever. But Mark, I want to ask you a question based on something that's going on in my world right now around hedging. So before the NBA playoffs started, I did an NBA playoff preview with Rohit from Covers, and we both laid down action on the Phoenix Suns to win the NBA title. I'm sitting there with a plus 3,000 ticket right now. The Suns, as of yesterday, we're recording this on Thursday, July 1st, are now in the NBA Finals. We don't know who's going to win between the Bucks and the Hawks, but nonetheless, I'm curious your mindset when you have a ticket at that large of a number in terms of letting it ride versus hedging, or what your mindset is around a ticket where you're looking at a potentially big payday.
Well, letting it ride to me, Rob, means you're gambling. Okay, and you're in a position right now that you don't have to gamble. You can put money in your pocket. And there's nothing like putting money in your pocket after a well-handicapped situation, which that is Phoenix making the final or winning the NBA championship. There's no doubt in my mind you have to hedge that play, and you can hedge it quite handsomely for the price at which you played the Suns. If I'm in your shoes, I'm hedging it, and I'm putting money in the bank and enjoying this series to watch it play out.
And okay, so I'm on board with that. How are you hedging it? So I'll give a few options. Number one, at one of the online sports books, they have a cash out feature where if I'm at plus 3,000, they're willing to give me plus 1,700 right now. Or do you just take that? Or do you put money on, hey, wait until we see who comes out of the East? What is your mindset in terms of how you would hedge this?
That's a great question also, and you have to look, perceive the odds to be, whether it be Atlanta or Milwaukee in the finals. If it's the Bucks and the Suns, I'm only going to guess that this line is going to be pretty close to even for the series. Plus 1,700 would be a head towards Phoenix. You get a little bit more money if it's even that way. If it's Atlanta, you're going to be favored over the Atlanta Hawks, and you're going to end up having to risk more money in your hedging than you'd want to. Myself, I take the 1,700, put it in the bank, and again, watch and enjoy the playoffs.
Gotcha. So you even do that before you know who's going to come out of that side of the bracket to lock in the profit.
Especially given the opportunity that you have that you can cash out now, unbeknownst to whom the teams are going to be. So I would take advantage of that right now. And I don't see, you know, like I say, whether it's Milwaukee or Atlanta, Milwaukee will be maybe the Atlanta won't be. I would take the middle of the road right in between that, cut it right in half, and take the plus 1,700.
Absolutely love that. That's something that I know we get hit up on social media all the time, people who are looking for opportunities around hedging. And you very much confirmed my mindset, because at that size of a ticket, I just wanted to get a winner. I didn't want to sit there where the Suns losing seven and you're like, well, just I wanted to get greedy and get all of that. So moving on, let's talk about the NFL season. And what we're going to do is a combination of things, some win totals, some plays for week one, and some thoughts around how the Super Bowl teams, the winner and the loser, plays in the first week of the season. But Mark, let's start with NFL win totals. And you've got an over for us and an under. I'll let you take it.
When I look at the over-under win total drop, I'm almost always making a case for an under, because if you play the overs, what has to happen is you have to relatively injury-free throughout most of the course of the season. You can't have any large degree of bad luck working against you to have an over cash for a ticket like that. So I would say of my over-under plays for season win totals, 3/4 of them are to the under. The tape that the guy I'm going to be going under with on top this year is going to be the Baltimore Ravens under 11 wins. And the reason I'm getting there is this. Number one, the division in which the neighborhood they play, the AFC North, has gotten better. The cost of real estate is improved in the AFC North with the Cleveland Browns resurgence, Pittsburgh coming back healthier this year than they were last year, Cincinnati even going to be an improved football team. Now you're asking Baltimore to win 12 games for you to lose this ticket. That's 12 wins. That's a big, big, tall order to ask a football team to do. You look at their schedule, and I look at strength of opponent. I don't look at them for their opponent's win-loss record last year. I think that's ridiculous. I look at it for projected season win totals of all of their opponents combined. And if you look at that and you grade plays that way, and we have a nice chart inside that Playbook Preview Guide magazine of exactly what this all shakes out to be. And what it does is Baltimore is going up against the second most difficult strength of schedule based upon opponents' projected win totals this year. That means they got a salty schedule. Six of their home games this football season will be against playoff teams last year. The other two games they've got at home are against the Chargers, who just missed out and are obviously in play to be a playoff team this year, and the Cincinnati Bengals, who I just referred to as going to be an improved football team. And if you look at what they did last year, the Baltimore Ravens, their offense and their defense both slipped from the year before. It's not like they tore things up last fall season here. And this is interesting here also in my database. If you look at teams that have a season win total that's in the double digits, 10 or more, you go back to the year 2000, teams with double-digit projected season win totals have won 45 times, they've lost the money 61 times, and they pushed out 7 times. And in fact, it's just 12 and 21 the last 6 years. New England has gobbled up most of that money there. New England has gone over 10 of the last 12 years. And if you take the Patriots out of that 45 and 61, you're looking at an almost 2-to-1 ratio here to play under the double-digit win total team. So all these things combined here puts me on Baltimore under the 11 wins for my top over-under total play this year.
And I love the stat about the double-digit win teams, because I remember from years past, that's something where we look ahead and you're like, how in the world is a team like the Rams, when they were coming off the Super Bowl loss and everyone thought Sean McVay and that team is going to be absolutely amazing. But you're not saying that the Ravens aren't going to be good. This is just a big number right there where they could still win 10 or 11 games and still have a good season and do whatever they want. But it's a huge number for them. So there's not a lot of margin for error, certainly when you're in the double digit territory.
And that's basically what we open this whole theme up about, is there's not a lot of room or margin for error with teams with double-digit win totals. Everything has to play out for them to be able to get up and over that number here. And when you've got a quarterback like Lamar Jackson, who loves to run the football first, is he going to play all 17 games this year? You hope so. But, he's a moving target every time he's got the ball in his hand, so I'm going to stay under that total here. I think this is all the double-digit win total type teams here this year. This is the one that attracts Baltimore under 11 wins.
All right, now let's go to your overplay.
My overplay, I'm going to use a team that I liked last year and failed miserably with. We don't win all the time, and we lose bad. We'll admit we lost bad. I was on the Dallas Cowboys last football season. I looked for big things from them last year. They had done everything terrifically in the offseason prior to last year. Their draft, they hit a major home run in doing just that. And then everything hit the fan for this football team last year. Not only the COVID situation, Dak Prescott means everything to this football team. Losing him, they ended up having to play 4 quarterbacks throughout the course of the season last year. They stood against whatsoever. Now you've got a healthy Dak Prescott back, healthy and happy. And if you take a look at what Dak did last year, break them down, their first 9 games of the season, those are the 9 games they played before they went into their bye week, 9 consecutive games, 9 weeks in a row. They were minus 13 in net turnovers in those football games. You know what happens to teams that turn the ball over at that rate? You just don't win football games. Now they've got a new defensive coordinator in here, and Dan Quinn, formerly of defensive coordinator with Seattle, former Atlanta Hawks head coach. But Dan Quinn fit what I call the Peter principle to the max. He is a defensive coordinator first, and he would try to be a head coach, and he wasn't all that successful. He's a master when it comes to defending football teams and being a defensive coordinator. All together here, I think you've got a mighty, mighty angry Dallas Cowboy football team that's chomping at the bit. And, you know, the other side of this equation here is this, is if you look at that NFC East, 16 years in a row, the team that's won the division has failed to come back and win again. That last year was Washington. So if we can safely eliminate Washington out of winning this NFC East division, that leaves it up to three other teams. And I think Dallas would be the leading contender amongst those three teams. Mike McCarthy failed terribly in this. If you go back and you look at Mike McCarthy in his days at Green Bay, when he had his first losing season, he bounced back with 11 wins the next year. I see that written all over the Dallas Cowboys this year. I like this football team to go over 9.5 wins.
The thing that's challenging for me on the Cowboys is one, shiny object syndrome. It's a very easy narrative to say Dak is back and why the Cowboys should be good. I'm curious from your standpoint, so you'd mentioned Dak is healthy, but I would also say he's coming back from injury. So how much does that affect things? Because we'll look at Joe Burrow and Dak Prescott, guys who had season-ending injuries, who are both high-profile quarterbacks. A lot is expected from. How much can we expect them just to be back versus needing to shake off rust versus getting to who we think they should be?
Well, truth be told, Dallas is dead in the water if Dak Prescott is not back healthy, okay? You know, this is all going to be based upon him being healthy, and word I have is he is going to be fit and ready to play week one of the National Football League season. Only he knows out of 100% how healthy he is upon his return. But given the fact that he's had this offseason to get ready here and he's content with the contract that he finally wanted, earned, and deserved, and he got that, I think everything about this football team does revolve around Dak Prescott. The other element that I didn't mention, Bill Elliott, who comes off a disastrous football season last year. But you put these two back into the form in which they can normally play at here. I think it's a power punch for Dallas. And again, I'll tie it together with the fact that they live in the slums. They live in the this division of all football league. And I think Dallas can capitalize just on that, the fact that they don't have to knock out a whole lot of other teams, get the other teams in the division to win this division. That's my reason to get over the total for the Dallas Cowboys.
So as we look ahead to week one, you mentioned Washington, and it just so happens Washington is taking on the Chargers. Chargers 1.5-point road favorites. And the reason I'm bringing this up is as I was looking at the lines, one thing that is a challenge for me is seeing the Chargers as favorites, and we're so used to the culture that Anthony Lynn and or the Chargers in general have had where they should be good, they can beat anyone, and then somehow they find a way to lose it for us in just excruciating fashion. And then you sit there and you're like, all right, here's Washington, a team coming off a division win. They've got a great defense. And you'd mentioned that, all right, since the trend had said for the last amount of years, it doesn't repeat, but how much stock do you actually put into that from a, that's past history and we do have a good team. It doesn't mean I'm in love with Washington, but I'm sort of seeing a little of everything when it comes to the Chargers versus Washington actually finding a way to win the division. What are your thoughts on, I guess, these two teams as it relates to the historical nature or culture of them?
Again, another great question, Rob. And, you know, in Washington, talking about them and no team repeating for 16 years in the division, that's a trend. And what happens is when the team that you're going to use out the trend applies and can fit into the trend, I think it works. In this case, it being the Washington Redskins football team talking about here, who didn't beat a winning team last football season, to ask them to come back and repeat, I think is going to be extremely difficult. Then you've got the Ryan Fitzpatrick saga going on there. Good guy, good backup quarterback, but he never gets you to the promised land. I don't think he's going to do that again this football season for this team here. Big edge at quarterback in this game here. to the Chargers coming into the contest here, but I know Patrick from his days down here in Miami, where I've relocated and live now, and he will play in games when he's not supposed to play. So when you're looking for bad things, Fitzpatrick steps up. Liver, he sits down, he fails. So it's a wishy-washy type situation. Washington, I love their head coach. I just don't like the situation at quarterback, good defense, and I can understand why the Chargers are favored in this game based a lot upon what they did last year. I'm not going to touch the football game personally because I wouldn't be surprised at either result of either team winning this game.
So you'd mentioned that you have a play for week one. So let's see what you got.
I'm going to look at some value, what I think is value here. And I'm going to play against a team last year in the National Football League that set franchise records last year. And I want to preface that by saying this, that when I handicap a card each week in the National Football League, one of the first things I'm looking at is to fade teams or go against teams that set records the week before. It's sort of the return to the norm type situation. When you set a franchise or a league record, you really tend to come back to the beginning. And I'm going to fade the Buffalo Bills here a lot this football season here. If you look at what Buffalo did last year, they had a great year. They set a franchise record with 501 total points. They scored 60 touchdowns. They swept the AFC East for the first time ever. Now the expectations are through the roof on this football team here. And I'm going to jump here with a value play on the Pittsburgh Steelers in week number one. They're taking 6 points against the Bills. You've got Ben Roethlisberger back for this football team, and he means everything to the success of this team here. If you look at him in his career, he's been outstanding as an underdog, as a starter with the Pittsburgh Steelers, 36-21-3 to the spread. And when he has revenge, remember, Buffalo took Pittsburgh out last year. He's 20-8 against the spread doing just that. Pittsburgh's dominated the series. They had won and covered 10 of the last 12 meetings until last fall here. And this is a neat little angle that I've used that applies to this football game here. And really what it comes down to is, if you're looking at teams that opening week of the football, and if you're looking at a team whose opponent won 12 or more games, you won 13 or more games. Buffalo won a handful of games, 15 games last year. So you fade any favorite in the NFL first week who won 13 or more games, that's gravy street. And then you use a team that won 12 or more a game play. Those teams, those favorites are just 3-10-2 against the spread. And 0-4 straight up into the number the last 10 years they've done just that. So you put this all together here. I'm going to fade Buffalo here. And again, we're going to touch a little bit on that season win total. The last time Buffalo had a season win total this high, it's 11.5 this year, was 11 wins back in 2001, and they happened to go 3-13 that year. That's a coming back to the norm crash year, and I see it for the Buffalo Bills. A ton of value here with the Pittsburgh Steelers for my top play in opening week NFL number one.
As someone raised in Pittsburgh, that is music to my ears. On the Steelers side of things, the number one narrative that you continue to hear is the offensive line, which has been completely, I don't know if retooled is the word, because there's just new people in there. And certainly it's easy to overlook that the Steelers did win the division last year. They lost Bud Dupree and some key pieces, but they still are a very good defense. Hopefully Najee Harris is going to fix some of the running game and their culture of winning. So while it's easy to say that the Steelers are going to be terrible this year, I'm not one who's going to be quick to write them off, because they still have a Super Bowl winning coach, a Super Bowl winning quarterback, and a culture of excellence.
Yes, they do. They have that mentality all about them. And this play is largely a perception play, Rob, if you will. Everybody remembers what Buffalo did last year, and everybody has this bad taste in their mouth for the Pittsburgh Steelers. In fact, if you polled 10 NFL football fans and asked them what they thought about their season last year, I would say 8 of them don't even remember that they made the playoffs. You know, they bowed out so poorly because they started out so well, undefeated their first 9 games, and really petered out down the stretch. But they were still, like I said, a 12-win football team last year, and they've still got a quarterback that's been there and done that. A ton of value here to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Love it. So you mentioned to me that you had some insight on the Super Bowl winner and the Super Bowl loser and how they play in the first week. And I find this narrative extremely interesting because one of the things that we've always heard is the Super Bowl hangover. The team who loses the Super Bowl the following season traditionally does not make the playoffs. And you're like, how in the world is that possible? It just does. You just look at it, and I'm curious from you, what is your thought process or the insight on how these teams perform in week one? Because we've got the Bucs laying 6.5 against your Dallas Cowboys, and they're taking on, or I guess alternatively, the Chiefs taking on the Browns, Chiefs laying 6 at home in that opening week.
Well, let's talk first of all about the Chiefs, and we'll get to the Super Bowl, that loser here, the Super Bowl loser, which you talked about here. And if you look at the Super Bowl loser, they've really, really struggled in game one. They've struggled all season long going backwards, and they're especially terrible in non-division football games. That's what Super Bowl losers are all about. Game one of the football season, Super Bowl losers are just 18-23 straight up, 15-26 to the spread. And in fact, the last 21 games, they're just 4-17 to the spread. So the Super Bowl losers have a tough time getting back in gear the first game the following football season here. And I think the biggest question surrounding this is, why do Super Bowl teams tend to struggle the next year? My belief is that they put so much into what it takes to get to a Super Bowl one year, they failed in that football game, and it's very, very difficult to get back up to that same level two consecutive years in a row. They become a targeted football team, and it's just almost impossible to play to that same level the following year. So now you've got Kansas City here, Super Bowl loser, laying points to the Cleveland Browns, who, by the way, they happen to take out and knocked out of the playoffs last football season here. Cleveland's been a horrible team opening week of the National Football League. I think their record is 1-19-1 straight up, something to that effect. But you're talking about a touchdown full of points here with the Cleveland Browns here. Football team, I think, is going to make it in our Playbook Preview Guide magazine. You'll be a little bit surprised, Rob, but I have them making it to the Super Bowl, the Cleveland Browns, this year. So what happens in this football game here? Kansas City hosts Cleveland. Cleveland, this playoff revenge chip on their shoulder here. Kansas City's got to dust themselves back off. And they also have to reacclimate themselves to the whole new offensive line here. That's what killed them in the Super Bowl game, their offensive woes and injuries they had there. Now they're piecing and parsing it back together again here. I think there's a nice situation for the Cleveland Browns plus the points in that particular Super Bowl loser fade in game one.
Mark, I'm curious how we could fade the Kansas City Chiefs if we were to believe in the Super Bowl hangover narrative, similar to what you mentioned around taking the under on the Baltimore Ravens. There is nothing comfortable for people being like, you won't believe what I'm doing. I'm betting against Lamar Jackson and I'm fading the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. But there's a reason why some of these narratives exist. So if we wanted to say, hey, I want to fade Kansas City, which certainly is not going to be comfortable, but guess what? You got to get comfortable being uncomfortable. How would you approach something like that if we wanted to be off of the Chiefs this year?
It's a tough job to have to sell that, Rob, because, you know, Patrick Mahomes being who he is, any football fan that really doesn't dive into handicapping sees Patrick Mahomes as being the premier quarterback in Kansas City, still the premier team in the National Football League. And they probably got a really good argument in that case here. But Patrick Mahomes is not invincible. We've seen that before in the past from him. And we are playing the percentages here. We're getting a lot of value in fading Kansas City this football season here. Remember last year, how many close call football games this team played last year. They weren't blowing people out like they did the year before when they won the Super Bowl. And the other part to this equation here is this. It's very, very difficult for teams to get back to the Super Bowl 3 years in a row, which you're asking Kansas City to do if you want to believe that they're going to not fall prey to the Super Bowl loser jinx this football season here. So I'm going to play the percentage with an up-and-coming football team in the Cleveland Browns. And until Kansas City proves to me that they can put teams away and solve them away and win games by double-digit margins, they'll be on my fade list to start the football season.
And what I love about what you just said is sort of a principle playing the percentages so often in sports betting. We're very emotional, and that's okay. I'm someone who's an entertainment bettor, so I want to have fun when I'm betting. Of course, I want to win, but some people go completely emotional. Other people say, you know what? I'm going to take emotion out of this, and I'm going to play the percentages and see where the value is, because over the long term, when I continue to play this, that means I'm going to have a winning play. So the Kansas City Chiefs right now are no different than Kurt Warner's greatest show on turf, or some of these other amazing teams that we've seen in the past where they're great, but that doesn't mean that money can't be made off of them. And actually, I want to move over to the Bucs side of things, because you had mentioned there's also a play or an angle on the team that wins the Super Bowl in week one.
Yeah, they come out pretty strong to Super Bowl winners here. They kind of puff their chest and they want to let everybody know, hey, don't forget about us. We won the Super Bowl last year. When they open up the next season at home in game one of the season here, they're 22-5 straight up, 15-9-3 to the number. That's Tampa Bay, and also Super Bowl winners when they play on Thursdays, which they'll be doing against the Dallas Cowboys to start the season here. They've been outstanding on Thursdays. Primetime football, Super Bowl champions, 28-6 straight up and 22-9-3 to the spread. Now, will I be on Tampa Bay in this football game? Probably not. But what I'm going to do is to use my database and those numbers that I just shared with you to keep me out of the Dallas Cowboys in this game.
Love it. Mark, really enjoyed this conversation with you. Where can everybody connect with you?
Well, real easy. You can follow me at Twitter at Mark Lawrence. It's Mark with the C. And you can also, every day I post a Bet You Didn't Know handicapping theory thought nugget on coversexperts.com. Check it out. My Bet You Didn't Know thought of the day. You'll learn a lot of good things out of my database, all at coversexperts.com.
And I want to hear from you. Do you have an over or an under four NFL win totals? Are you going to lay down any action on week one already, or are you going to wait until closer to the season? Do you have any teams that you are looking to fade? I mean, we just talked about the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Ravens. Definitely not for the faint of heart here. I want to hear from you. You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy. Also make sure to tag at Covers. And remember, you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management.
The funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.